Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 434. I'm so bummed that we had no news this week, and we're just going to jump right into talking about comics.
Hey, wait a minute. That sounds like sarcasm.
That's sarcasm. So, I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Mike,
Pat,
Brandon,
Spencer,
Dave.
We're in a different order. I'm a little uncomfortable, but we'll see how it goes. What? I'm not doodling yet.
Mike will help you.
I'll help you out.
Okay.
Two old men in the same corner.
There we go.
Sounds like a really weird website.
What was I talking about? Huh? What's my name?
Okay. Why am I here?
Well, exactly. I don't even know what I'm doing here. Well, I guess we'll go chronologically as the events unfolded over the course of the weekend. I think it was Thursday we discovered that there's a real big book coming from IDW that lots of people are very excited about. A lot of buzz behind it. Turtles, which is always good. Not a huge seller, but a big fan base for Turtles. People really like Turtles, and they're doing the story from the original creators of Eastman and Laird. Story they had for a long time, and they're bringing it out. They've been hyping it. It's been delayed. Everybody, you know, really wants to see what's going on with it. Lots of fans who normally don't get Turtles getting it. So we're talking about The Last Ronin, a story where it's set in the future and there's only one turtle left and he is seeking vengeance for his fallen family. So this was always going to be a weird book because it's oversized, but not just oversized. It's taller than a magazine size, but also skinnier. So, of course, it's not going to fit in any bag or box anybody has, which makes things awesome. But a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement behind it.
And then,
yeah.
I don't know if we're talking about the same thing, but they switched the artists on it.
Yes, they switched
the
artist.
Correct. That some people got is worth like hundreds of dollars.
Right.
Now.
Because it was art that doesn't exist any longer. Well, it exists, but
it's not
being used.
Be
yes. And then we found out somebody checked what was coming because it's coming out next week and they were checking the order and noticed that what they were showing as on order was not the same that they actually ordered.
That's a problem.
It's a problem, yes. Because yes, sir?
For those that pre-ordered, are we getting hosed?
Nope. Everybody's fine.
It was allocated to 80%, right?
Correct.
So, depending on how the store ordered, right?
Because
if your store didn't expect it to be a good book and it just
ordered holds, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
But if you ordered shelf copies, theoretically, you'd be all right.
Now, it's a case of where their answer is, oh, well, you know, it was returnable, so there was no reason to order tight. Well, it's also, I think, an $8 or $9 book.
$8.99.
Yeah, so that's not easy. Oh, I'll take $1,000. You know, nobody's doing that. So, well, I'm not doing that. Somebody's doing that.
You don't think you can sell $1,000?
I do not.
What's the single best selling issue you've ever done?
Action Comics 1000.
What was that?
Like 600.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah, that was insane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Multiple cover shelf.
Oh my gosh. And $7 or $8. That was a $7.99 book.
Yeah.
You still got issues of that left though. How big did you go?
I do, but I don't.
Okay.
Here's the reason.
They double checked.
One of them, I received the Middleton cover instead of the Cho cover. So I received double of that they never asked for back. So I have lots of that one because of that. And the Bermejo cover was mostly damaged when it arrived. So when people were just grabbing random covers that they wanted, that one wasn't available the first 2 weeks. So I have lots of that one extra just because of that. But it was selling sets. I sold a lot of sets because I think I was able to do all 10 covers for $50.
Yeah.
And it's like it was the first landmark issue. You know, it just worked out. But so, yeah, they allocated. Everybody's getting 80% of what they ordered, including variants, which I think that really kind of sucks. I ordered 50, and I'm only getting 4 1-in-10s because I got allocated down to 40. So that can be a problem, especially if you ordered big. Let's say you ordered 220 1-in-10s and you sold 17 of them and now you're only getting 16. It's like, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
The reason behind it is that IDW prints overseas. And so they have to print well in advance of final order cutoff. And based on their history, they guesstimate the fluctuation between initial order and adjustments at Final Order Cutoff. Well, in this one, because they did that preview, there was a big increase in orders, obviously at least over 20%.
Isn't that like the whole purpose of
it? Is that? It is. And some retailers are calling for them to be kicked off the FOC program, stuff like that. I'm like, well, that doesn't really help, because if you want to decrease, then you can't decrease now. Yeah. And that, like, my question now is, what the hell do I order for number two? If I ordered 50 to match number one, but now I'm only getting 40, do I bother ordering 50 number twos? Because I can get second prints, but...
Yeah, I heard that the second prints, though, are already...
Right, and we haven't even ordered them yet. So it's just, yeah, it's kind of the worst of comic retail. We're
not quite. We'll get to that.
Not quite, yeah. So this is a bit of a chaos. And, of course, now because they were allocated, of course, now the speculators are jumping in. I'm seeing they're selling for $40 on eBay. It's just...
So they print all their books in China?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Or Korea, somewhere over there.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a timing issue for them. Also remember when all this was being sent to press and everything was when they were going through their switching publishers and chaos of all that. So, yeah.
Can't plan these things.
You can't plan these things, Pat. So yeah, so that's been fun. And of course, a guy I know just took over as their sales rep. And this is like the first thing he's getting beaten over the head about. And it's like, I had nothing to do with
that's
this.
That's still better than the Batawang.
Yeah, but it's just...
That's a rough first day on the job.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then DC announced that in...
Speaking of Batawangs,
that in January and February, they're going to stop publishing all their monthly books. I do think the extras will keep going. Metal will finish up.
Well,
and
Metal kicks off.
Right, but its last issue comes out in January. I just don't want to say everything stopping in January. Rorschach,
Adventure,
right? Yeah. Those are still going to keep going.
Yeah, all of the black label stuff is going. The kids stuff.
Yeah, well,
and they said it's like
Scooby-Doo.
I saw a thing. It was like 2% of the regular books are still going to come out. It's like a Catwoman and like something else that's like technically DC Universe.
Gotcha. But, so they're replacing all their books with future state books. Books like The Next Batman, and I forget what, Dark Detective, I think.
Yeah.
Immortal Wonder Woman, all sorts of different titles.
Some new Flash.
Yeah.
The Green Lantern no one cares about.
But, and it's some, like, Bendis is doing the Legion book, and I think Williamson, I want to say, is doing the Justice League book. But other than that, it's a lot of different writers, like non-regular writers doing their stuff. Joelle Jones, I think, is doing a Wonder Woman, so she's a name, and there might be another one, but for the most part, it's when you look at the at
she's
least
the
right...
or drawing it?
I think writing it. Okay. But when you look at the writers, it's a lot of untested new people.
Mark Russell's doing one book.
He's doing a Lex Luthor book, yeah. Price points are all over the place.
Because there's some are like one and two issues, some are four issues. And...
Right, that are shipping every other week. Some are giant size.
Yeah, some look like they're going to be multiple stories.
Yeah.
There's like I think it's Dark Detective. Mariko Tamaki is writing.
Okay.
But she's like one of six writers.
Okay, there. Yeah.
And
so,
I'm not buying it just for her.
Yeah. So this has... Yeah. This has Convergence 2 written all over it. Like, they have a plan coming for the spring, and they just kind of need to get there. And this is how they get there.
But I don't want any of these books.
Well, yeah.
But, Mike, they're returnable.
Well, yeah. Again, because my problem is, like, the next Batman, I'm not going to automatically add to everybody that gets Batman.
Yeah,
I don't want it.
I know, and Wonder Woman, I'm not going to add the Wonder Woman. So it's going to be a case of you're going to need to let me know what you want on these, which is great because I can give you the previews so you can... Oh, wait, no, they don't have one.
You know what because the new Batman, because it's 50 years in the future.
Or whatever, I don't know exactly. But
that's what Batman Beyond was.
Right.
He's already there in continuity. It's Terry McGinnis and like... But yeah. No, let's not do that. Let's do something
else. Well, and we always had those future end issues that jumped into the future. Yeah. So it's, yeah. Well,
yeah, because that's the thing. The first Black Batman was supposed to be Duke.
Right.
I don't know. And now it's Tim Fox. Unless there was...
Whose idea
is that this? Speculation, or is that like confirmed?
Well, they said it's going to be a Fox.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whose idea is this? No one's taking
Bob's.
I think they just invested too much. Well, on 5G.
Personally, what I think this is some of the 5G stuff that was completed that's sitting in a drawer, and they kind of went, "We need to publish this."
Was 5G the reason why they got rid of the Dio?
Yes.
Okay, because I mean, like, just hearing about.
Well, it, I don't. I think that and conflicts with editors and creative, and there was. I think there was a lot of things going on. Yeah.
But I mean, this is. He wanted to completely do a rebirth style change to this.
Right, and now we're kind of doing this anyway.
Well,
but...
right, but it's a 2-month thing as opposed to an ongoing thing. So my question is, to do that kind of a shift. I would think we'd have to have someone above him going, yeah, I'm going to sign off on that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the kind of thing you just
What I think decide. It might be is they have something planned for spring, for March, April. No, but that they want to get to, but they need time for all the artists and writers to get that work done. They needed a break. They needed time to get it done.
They have so 12% of a plan.
This gives them those 60 days. Remember, because there's also new editorial in. They just put in the two new editors and or publishers. On who knows, editor-in-chief, because that was Bob Harris was the editor-in-chief, and I know he was booted. I don't know who took over. So I don't know exactly the structure because they haven't exactly been forthcoming. So we don't know exactly what's going on. My guess is we'll start hearing about something new coming. But this is just kind of a limping to get there, and
But then my question is, so if sales lag for this, is that the impetus to say, okay, the market's dead, we're not going to do this
anymore? No, I don't think that's not fair, though. You can't
That's not fair, but that's like, it's not, I want to read Batman, but I want to read Bruce Wayne.
That's
Batman,
like NBC all of a sudden putting Alf on 24/7, and the guy on up top says, our ratings are terrible, we're going to stop doing TV. You can't, you can't put out vague, unfamiliar product,
AT&T
and then complain.
Is bleeding money.
Yeah. Oh, right, but that's not DC's fault.
I understand that, but who's to say this is not an excuse, like Pat just said, to go, that's enough?
Well, but if it's not costing them money, if DC isn't losing money for AT&T, why would you cut it loose?
I understand that, but who's to say that this is not worth doing
anymore?
Or
it may be, actually, it could be the other way around, too. This also could be they tank the sales. And then say, okay, based on what happened those 2 months, we're going to sell the company. And then in the following 2 months, because numbers will start going back up because we go back to the regular books, they'll get a higher price for it.
I feel like they just spent the money to write these stories.
Right, and they're getting their money
back.
They need
to get them
out. Oh, absolutely.
And
no, absolutely.
It eases a transitional period if they can just go, okay, we need new... everything on everybody on everything.
Has anybody said I have to have these? I want these? To you?
But see, these are the kinds of things, like how they had the Earth One line. These, it feels like it could be something like that where they're standalone original graphic novels that they can put out.
If they made some vague statement that some of these stories will continue, maybe. But they haven't said any of that. It just really feels like they're just doing these little mini-series and one-shots just... as a stopgap.
Kind of, well, it's the kind of thing. I think they'll whatever's popular, they'll continue. With.
Right, but
they'll bring back. But
yeah,
but two months isn't enough to gauge what's going to be popular.
Right, and orders. I mean, people. You know, we're going to order more Batman than we're going to order a flight. You know, it's not shocking.
And you know, you're going to have first appearances, so you're going to have.
Oh right, they're all but
buying these books, and you'll sell a bunch of number ones. You won't sell anything after that, and. So, oh, well, this new Batman's really popular. Let's go with that. Well, no, it's a speculator book.
Yeah, but I think they have other ways of measuring whether a character's popular or not, right?
Likes. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. But, and those first appearances of characters will occur in books other than number one. So I think you'll have a lot of random.
But I think in this case, if it's something that takes place in the future, I don't know if a first appearance is really anything.
But I think if they did the same plan and just kept Batman coming out, kept Detective Comics coming out, just kept those big flagship books that, you know, stores make a like the majority of their DC revenue on, you know, just because what is it? Probably 5 books that they could have just said, "Oh, these books aren't, you know, unaffected. They're going to continue on, and the stuff's going to happen around them."
Yeah.
Well, that's why I think you go to the original graphic novel route, and you can do multiple volumes of it. You know, take because if they're publishing twice a month, you take, you know, month one is one graphic novel, month two is another graphic novel, and they have a whole other line then that if they are popular, you can continue on with those outside the scope of the regular DC universe. It doesn't allow them to get that 2-month break, but they still get to push out the content that they've already paid for and have a way to do it without pissing off their customers.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not really pissed off about it, though. I kind of look forward to a break from Batman comics.
Right.
Right, but that's different than yeah. I want to read my Batman comic, not this other one. Yeah. And then how many people go, well, you know what? I'm losing it for 2 months and then they don't come back.
Yeah. Don't give people a stopping point. So we'll see. But wait. Clicky.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. Then Monday morning, which I hate because with Monday being a day off and day I just watch TV and do computer work, doing the new tags and everything takes about 3 hours. So all of a sudden at 9 a.m. we get an email from DC going, "Hey, just so you know, UCS isn't going to be doing our come end of the year. UCS will no longer be delivering our books." It's like, oh.
Who is?
Just Lunar now, because it was Lunar in UCS, and now it'll just be Lunar.
This is 6 months into this little experiment.
And not a big deal for me. I did open an account with both of them, but a lot of people are now going to have to open who did UCS, which the eastern half of the U.S. was told to do, and also Canada, all is serviced by UCS, now have to open accounts with Lunar and learn a new system. And just it's a great time of year to start throwing in uncertainty and change, you know, because it's not like we're gearing up for a holiday that we honestly have no idea how it's going to go. And there's an election in 2 weeks, which is kind of keeping the country on.
And you're supposed to have
I don't want to say pins and needles.
Another
but,
wave of COVID.
Right. So there's a lot going on. So, yeah, what the heck?
Did they give a reason?
No. We've gotten no reason, which has me confused. Not confused, but I want to know because one of two things happened. UCS quit on DC or DC fired UCS. You know.
I felt like they were playing it off like this was planned the whole time. I don't think it was.
I don't think it was either. But I'm like, one of the two things, I guess they mutually agreed to do it, but one of the parties wanted to stop it. So it'd be interesting to see who, only because, and it's funny, because some of the retailers who were very, very pro-DC, and this is the greatest thing ever, and now we have competition. Well, yeah, we got no competition anymore. My thing that I don't like about it is I do not like sending money to DCBS because I don't want to make them more powerful. Nothing good happens from them having more power in the industry and more money and getting bigger. So, yuck. So what it means, who knows? There's rumors that different companies might be going with UCS because UCS clearly invested in, you know, the infrastructure and the website and, you know, I'm sure the warehouse, they can't just say, oh, sorry, we don't need this space anymore. So what all is going on, we don't know. But like I said, it's more just the uncertainty and the not knowing. DC has been really, really awful about communicating with us. Like, they told us this happened, but not the why and what's going to happen in the future, things like that, which is very frustrating because they're the one creating most of the upheaval in the market. And they've completely shutting us out now with closing the Facebook group and being very standoffish. So, yeah. I mean, not that Marvel's more forthcoming, but Marvel also isn't changing the terms and the rules of the game while we're playing it. So, yeehaw. Fun and exciting. I hope I answered everybody's questions on that. Any other news anybody else saw?
Those were the three that I
saw. Those were the biggies? Okay. Let's go to questions. Come on. Why did I get a phone that needs face recognition?
It doesn't, though. You can turn off face recognition.
But I don't have a thumb. I can't do the thumb.
Neither do I.
I know. I like the thumb. That was easy.
Well, what happens if somebody cuts your thumb off?
Good point.
So okay. With the face one, they could just cut his face off.
That's true. See, and just hold it up to it.
And then we got a Colin Joker running the store. It's all held up with duct tape and staples and a belt.
And then some girl shows up with my face.
Yeah.
Who they made a big deal of, and I don't think we've seen in a long time. So that's why I think Punchline is going down that same road.
It'd be the daughter of Pittsburgh Comics.
Yeah. Okay, so a question from James is, how excited are you to see Jared Leto's Joker again in the Snyder Cut of the Justice League? Very little or not at all?
Very little.
Unless if he's getting beat up by Batman.
Bye, Tim.
Is there something below not at all?
They're adding him back into that?
Yes, he's back in. That. Yeah, they announced today he's filming scenes for it.
So that's if they do a flashback where they see just Batman just punching him in the face and he's losing his teeth, and that's why he has that dumb grill thing.
Yeah. Or if they show him killing Robin, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I would like to, see that on film.
But
the thing that bugs me about the Snyder Cut is, this Snyder Cut is clearly not the movie that they intended to make.
Right.
They have gone back and literally added characters, put a bunch more money into it.
But it's generating buzz.
Well, no, but it was literally the movie he wanted to make.
No, it wasn't. He had a much grander plan where it was all going to be... Remember the dream sequence in Batman versus Superman?
Yeah.
That was the movie. Where I heard... It was on the Comics Conspiracy. They got a summary of the plot.
Okay.
And a dark side comes and wipes out half the Justice League. And... it was very, very dark, and I think I do not blame them for not making that, wanting him to make that movie. They wanted an Avengers, not this dark,
movie. We can do that in
it was almost like Deceased,
movies.
Right?
We can do like four movies.
Yeah,
in.
It was almost like Deceased. But I did respond to James because it was a message Twitter, or it wasn't a tweet. It was a tweet message. I don't even know what they're called, direct message. But I said, I think it's going to be brilliant, and the tagline's going to be, if you loved him in Suicide Squad, you'll love him even more here. Because everybody loved him in Suicide Squad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. What?
I didn't mind him.
Oh, I thought it was. My problem with him was he either needed more or less. The amount we got in Suicide Squad was not right. Either make him mysterious and have less, or have more and explain everything.
But he didn't feel like the Joker.
No. Like the Joker's son.
I don't know. Yeah. I think
son of Joker.
If I was going to recut that movie, I would cut out the part where he's like laughing on the floor. I'd cut out him in the club.
Yeah, there.
And I would just have the part where
that's
like,
what I mean. Less.
He's on the phone with her or something like that, and then do the scene where he has all his henchmen shooting up people. Like if that would have been his intro,
less is more. Yeah,
just would've like he comes and it's just like destruction.
The scene where he gets the guard in the back of the casino.
Wow, you guys remember this a lot better than I do.
That felt like the Joker, and then from moment to moment, you didn't know
tried to forget
if he was
it immediately.
Kill him or
I've seen
help
parts
him.
On TV.
That felt okay.
That's me
and
the
scene
third Star
where
Wars
he
movie.
Has his shirt off and he says, like, I'm just going to hurt you real bad. Like, that totally felt Joker-y.
Yeah.
So...
But like I was recently watching some of the Batman the Animated Series, and there's one that was like Joker's Favor, where the guy like cuts him off and yells at him, and that felt very much like that scene where from moment to moment he's like pleasant with him, and but there's that overwhelming sense of at any moment he's going to snap and cut his head off.
Okay, Zach asked DC Lunar Midtown. We covered that, and I forgot his name. Sorry. I know his name. But is asked, is Batman a Democrat or a Republican? I'm going to say Batman's probably a Democrat or Bruce Wayne's a Republican.
Yes.
Oh, very, very true.
That's very true right there.
Christian. That's who. Yeah. I was going Brandon. I'm like, Brandon is not right. Not nothing to do with you. But Christian asked that question.
But is Bruce Wayne a Republican for show?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then Bruce Wayne's a Democrat.
But no one would know that.
Is Harvey Dent a Democrat or a Republican?
Whoa, he can be both.
Each side. Or, he's an independent.
Yeah, yeah.
I need cider, yes. It's like, I remember when I first moved here, and we were out in Beaver County, and it was the first election, and I was noticing every candidate was running as a Republican and a Democrat. I'm like, how do you do that? I could not wrap my head around that. Right, but I just could not wrap my head. I'm just like, that's not how it works.
Allowed to do that.
Really? Yeah. I just remember going,
that's the only ones.
Maybe. But I just remember, I'd never heard of that before.
Right, it could be Democratic Republicans.
Yeah. Speaking of elections, should we get into politics? Because I think that was the time. No. That'll make for a fun podcast.
There's an election?
Yeah, apparently. I'm seeing lots of TV commercials. But another thing I noticed on the for the local people, they don't say if they're Republican or Democrat. It's just so and so, and it's
exactly.
Like, I find that very interesting that they're not proud. That's really whatever that. That's yeah.
That's the one. I voted by mail this year. That was the one thing I liked. I could actually
right
like,
that you could see. Yeah,
like say, I don't know that name. Let me look them up and actually learn something about
right.
them.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas normally, if I just go to the thing, like a lot of these people, like, I don't.
Right.
I don't know
right.
who these people
no.
Are.
No. I hear you. I'm just scared of doing that this year.
Yeah.
I used to write election previews. You didn't want to know this. Most of the local candidates.
Son of 20 term here, who feels he's been anointed. Okay. That's all the questions we had.
Thank God for that.
Any other issues anyone has?
A dark path.
No fight questions still.
Yeah, no. 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody give us a fight question, please.
Yeah, Mike asked a question a while ago. I completely forgot about it. I'll have to get back to him on that.
Well, what was it, Mike?
Different Mike. Mike from New Hampshire.
Oh. There's more than one Mike?
Yeah, yes. There are. There is more
what?
Than one Mike.
You're cheating.
That's like, I got back. I got back from walking the dogs, and I came in, and there was a Joe at the counter. I said, hey, Joe. And then I got an answer from in here, because there was another Joe in here. I'm like, it used to be you couldn't swing a cat in here without hitting a mat. We had a lot of mats. Luckily, we've bumped a lot of them off. So.
Bump a lot of them off?
So, yeah. So, Mike.
No, don't pick me first.
No, he picked you first.
No!
No, oh, it's okay if you don't want to. But I'm just saying, since you had a short stack,
fine.
We'll start with you.
Let's go. I'm going to start with good.
Okay.
Flash 763. Start of a new artist, a new art. I liked it. It basically tells the story that Barry goes and blasts off. He's going to go get lunch for him and Iris, and he realizes, oh my God, I don't have my costume on. His ring didn't shoot out his Flash costume. He's like, oh my God, I lost my ring. Like, literally, 75% of the story is he lost his ring.
Yeah.
And he breaks it down to who would do this, and it's the Trickster.
Yeah, well, because he backtracks everywhere he's at. And they were like, at an arcade, you know, for part of their date, and when he goes back to the arcade, there's like a claw machine to like win Flash's
ring. Trickster has a legitimate business.
Legitimate.
And the cops say, leave him alone, he hasn't done anything yet, and he knows he took his ring, and there's a little bit of help from Riddler and a couple other people saying that, well, they figured out, oh my God, this ring actually has value to the Flash, what's the deal?
Yeah, because like, when you study it, there's a different kind of metal in it that nobody knows. So they're like, oh, this must be some kind of secret, like, Flash metal or something, you know?
Yeah. And it all comes down to, he took part of his mother's wedding ring, part of his father's wedding ring, and what else was in there? Gold or something?
Like, just like the gold of the ring, just kind of like blended it all together.
And that, more than just, didn't have like super special abilities or powers or anything. It just had sentimental value to it. And then the end, we have another villain coming up. Was it Elemental?
Something like that.
Man or something?
Though,
it's Metamorpho?
I don't know.
No. Is it the young Trickster is the one that has the robotic arm, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this looked like the old...
But he had the robotic arm. Yeah,
so, like, that's what I was... I didn't know. They might have not...
Yeah.
Been some confusion there. But other than that,
I liked it.
Pretty good issue.
Yeah. I'll go with Rorschach number one.
I read that.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care at all.
Mm-hmm.
The story didn't say, hey, I want to get issue two or anything. Mm-hmm. And it was just... I understand. Maybe I'm having Rorschach fatigue.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Well, Rorschach's not in this.
Mm-mm.
I understand that. But
that's a problem.
That's a criticism.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And you only get like one or two panels at the end of like the actual Rorschach, wasn't it? At the end?
Well, yeah, end, that was the original Rorschach. But, like, we know where his DNA is. It's kind of all over the Arctic. Yeah, and that's the other weird thing
Can you grab an issue for me? Spencer, I want to show something.
The book felt more like a sequel, or I read it as a sequel to the TV show because they explicitly talk about Oklahoma.
And Redford.
Redford, which makes me think TV.
But my problem with that...
My problem, the entire issue, I'm going, why the F is Columbo in a Rorschach? It's Columbo. The whole time I'm going Columbo, and I'm laughing because I'm thinking of Colin the whole time.
King,
that's Columbo.
King is a big Columbo fan.
I understand that.
I'm sure that's...
But a couple problems I had with it. It's like he gets shot at a political thing, and it's like we're supposed to understand who the people like are Columbo. And what the politics are.
That doesn't look like Columbo.
That one looks like Columbo. That one looks like Columbo. But that one, the one you're pointing to, no.
That's Columbo. The whole episode. The whole issue is Columbo.
He does. Now that you say that, I do see the guy mannerisming like Columbo. But the face is... He has a very distinct face with the one eye and the...
Well,
so
my question
to all of you is, how many issues is this going to be?
12.
Yeah, 12? Yeah. Like I said, my problem with it was he said that he wrote it like a novel. And my problem was a novel, that first paragraph has to grab you.
Exactly.
And there was nothing in this entire issue to grab you. Oh,
no, we read
right
the
away,
first
Rorschach gets shot.
Nothing.
But there's no, you know, it's not that Rorschach. So it's some random guy. So when your entire draw is some random guy got shot,
then Columbo breaks down who the old guy was and who the
was nobody. It didn't.
I'd rather
he's
read
somebody who didn't mean anything to
but
us.
But he's so I listened to an interview on Word Balloon before I read this because I don't think I would have made this connection. But the 80-year-old guy is a stand-in for Steve Ditko, because Steve Ditko like went nuts and went all like objectivist and Mr. A and basically went out of the comics.
Yeah.
Well, this guy is supposed to be it's King imagined,
and he created the question.
What if instead
who
of
the
going
Rorschach
crazy far right, he went crazy far left? So this 80-year-old guy is the Steve Ditko who went crazy far left. And you kind of pick up on that because he talks about, like, the pirate comics. But
the question is, why would I care?
Right, and that's my problem is, as you're reading
issue, why do I care? And I closed the book going,
and then
I
at the end, it's like, him and the girl, they're both dead.
I
don't care.
Yeah. But, and how much was the book? $5.99?
Yeah.
I
really don't care.
I think $4.99. Yeah, my other problem with it was, if it's after the TV show, they mentioned he had a mask, but it wasn't a real mask. He just got it at a Halloween store.
Yeah.
After the TV show, I don't see in the TV show world, the Rorschach masks were, if police saw them, they shot you.
Yeah, because you were the
racist. I don't see you could buy that at a Halloween store.
Right.
Because they'd be outlawed.
It would be like a Fox mask. It'd be like a Klan mask.
But remember the very first.
You can't buy Klan masks at a Halloween store. That I'm
true.
Aware of.
But the very first scene in the TV show, the policeman pulls over the guy who has the cabbage in the back.
Yeah.
And it's like, can you release my gun? I saw a mask that the guy had in his glove box.
Yeah. No.
I don't see them just selling those masks at a Halloween store.
The other thing is,
because it doesn't really work as a sequel to that.
Or it doesn't work as a sequel. Yeah.
But the other one I noticed was they referenced the internet. The guy had a pager, but he referenced the internet.
And then they have a payphone, but they say 2020.
Yeah, because this is like today. Yes. Yeah. This is modern.
I was going to say, did anybody get thrown by that?
Well, the thing
I
that
was
is,
just reading it going, I'm not liking this.
In that universe, that Watchmen universe, Dr. Manhattan and, like, basically threw off progress. So they don't have internet. They don't have the flat screen TVs and the
but
technology.
But the bad thing with
have.
King is, you're probably right, he's not going to get to that till issue 12 or issue 11.
Yeah.
And he's going to tell this long winded, and I'm out. And, like, that was just not.
I think I know what's going to happen.
Do you really?
I have my theory on it.
Yeah.
So,
will you continue to read it?
Yeah, because King stuff is really uneven, but I tend to like it. Yeah. So, but my theory on this is the Rorschach character was working with the because superheroes are like illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my thinking is they were trying to make it look like Rorschach tried to assassinate this character and she was going to, like, stop it in some kind of, like, heroic way. And
hand me that.
And thus...
I have a question, like, for Pat.
Restore, you know, like, damage the Rorschach reputation, restore superhero, like, costumes, vigilantes to some extent.
Just a shelf for the masks.
Yeah, but Rorschach doesn't have a great reputation to begin with.
Well, he is devoutly followed by the secular people, or the extremists.
But that's in the TV show. If it's a sequel to the comic book, that doesn't work, because everybody knows he's a scumbag in a comic book.
Has King explained what is his continuation of?
Well, because they make an Oklahoma reference, I'm assuming that the whole HBO show is canon.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm not a gun guy.
Mm-hmm.
So this page threw me too. This looks like a pretty solid metal security door.
Yeah.
So he gets his pistol taken away from him, and then he's shooting through the door.
It depends if it's a hollow door with thin
but
metal.
Would they go through with that force to knock a guy off his feet?
Depends on, I mean,
I know, but yeah, he just stole the policeman's pistol, so it's not
unlikely,
I mean, that's the gun. That just struck me as odd.
The bigger part I have with this is they shoot like several rounds in what is effectively an auditorium.
Right, right.
And nobody notices.
Yeah.
You can't shoot a gun in a place that has a ceiling and not have it just be total chaos.
Yeah.
So
will you get another issue?
Yes, but I think King does a great job with characters. He doesn't do a great job with world building. And if he sticks to the world that's already established, either the TV show or the comic book, I think he can make a good story. But if he tries to get cute and add his own spoke to the wheel, it's not going to work. So I'll give it another issue or two to see what he does with it.
I'll wait for the trade, just because it'll be a complete story in 2022 when he finishes it. So.
I mean, King made me like Kite Man. And if you can make make Kite Man a compelling character, you did something.
The other one I read, Pat and I were talking about, is number one issue, The Devil's Red Bride.
Okay.
And to me...
That's from Vault.
Yes.
It was a story in three parts, I find out now. Like, there's a beginning part.
A middle and an end?
Yes.
No.
No way!
That's most stories.
The middle part starts, and then it goes 3 years later, and then Pat explained to me at the end, which totally confused me, because the artwork, I can't tell who's who, I can't tell who's male, female.
Yeah, that's the sister.
Okay.
She was wearing the red armor during the battle. She took it off after the battle and gave it to him, because in Japanese culture, women are subservient, and she never would have been able to do that.
Okay.
So especially in 16th century
Japan.
If
Pat would have been there, I probably liked it a lot better, because he explained it. And the artwork just threw me off completely. But the middle story...
Because there were no rabbits.
Yeah,
that's true.
I heard that was good, and I flicked through the pages, and I was like, nah, not for me.
You're welcome to read my copy and give it to me next week. I don't care. I'm not going to get issue two.
Yeah.
See, I'm the opposite. I was so excited
because I'm like, it reminded me of Usagi, kind of, but in an adult manner. But Pat can explain why he liked it. My biggest problem was the art, and I couldn't tell what was going on with the story.
See, I like a good samurai book.
Oh, I do
and
too.
And that's what, you know.
But there wasn't a rabbit in there.
That's true. Well,
trademarked.
Yeah.
So is it mystical at all?
No.
No. It's pure samurai. It's not
people taking their masks off and they're samurai monsters and stuff like that.
No.
That's Aftershock. This is Vault.
Yeah, she took her mask off because, like I said, women can't be samurai.
That's the mask that she adorns, and that's it.
It's the Red Devil mask.
Yeah, and that's
it. So that's why she's the Devil's Red Bride.
Because I haven't read it all, but the Greg Pak writes one.
Did you read the back?
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't tell you?
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
What's the one that Greg Pak wrote?
Ronin Island.
I like Ronin Island. Like, it's a good story, but I almost feel like they didn't need to be zombie monster thingies. They could have just been a foreign army, and it actually would have been more threatening.
Yeah. The last volume of that ever come out?
Yeah.
Ronin Island?
I don't think the trade has. Yeah. I think it comes out.
But the last issue came out.
Yeah.
Because it breaks to like three trades.
Yeah, because it's 12 issues in three trades.
But if Pat gets his issue two and says it's more understandable, maybe I'll jump back in, but the cover was gorgeous, and I got inside, and I just couldn't make out heads or tails of what was going on.
Okay.
Yeah. Could have been late night, so that's all I got.
Okay, I guess I'm next. Seven Secrets, number 3.
Oh, man.
That one hits you in the feels.
In all the feels.
So, the son of Eva and Sigmund. He is one of four that are chosen to try out for...
Well, they discovered the bad guy left Sigmund's body on the gates of
Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
But then the queen is black.
Yes.
I didn't get that.
Yes, so the queen is black, but she knew about the seven secrets. She opens a secret thing with her eyes. Well,
she has a secret
reader. And she called, saying that she had found them. Yeah.
And she should have looked at Shakespeare's head, too.
Yeah, you'd think, especially being over there.
So now they're working on replacing, training his replacement. Yeah.
And it's, you know, his son and then three others.
The three top
recruits. And because, of course, it's the son.
Right.
Now, what seemed odd to me about that, though, is he's now the secret keeper for his mother.
Correct.
And everybody knows that that's his mother. I'm kind of surprised that they allowed that to happen.
Well, he was the last one to know. I don't think it's against the rules, though, to like...
No.
No, but I'm just surprised they didn't like switch up secret keepers or something like that so that she and her son... Because it sets up the situation where she may have to choose her son over the secret.
Well, say, with the way this story is going, I don't know. She might not be around for two... Like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't, you know what I mean? Well, we found out last issue, he doesn't make it to the end of the, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm interested to see how that plays out.
But the part that really hits you in the feels is after he is made the secret keeper, his mom takes him aside and gives him a box, and, you know, it's
like a big trunk.
And it starts off with, well, there's a teddy bear, and it's from his father. He's like, well, what does he expect me to do with this? She has him count the presents, and there are 15 presents, one for each year that he couldn't give to him, that he had been buying the whole time and just kind of keeping.
Did you notice that one of the gifts was, we only find them when we're dead?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Oh, because that was another Boom book. One was The Deep, which was a Tom Taylor book.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't notice that one.
Yeah. And the Sex Pistols.
Yeah. That,
no, what was awesome about that, it was one for each year. That was awesome.
And a 1984. Sex Pistols reference in there?
It was actually the album.
One of the albums.
Yeah, the gifts was the album.
Yeah.
Dude, you should read it. Dude.
It's
you
really
check
good.
Out the series. It's really
yeah.
good.
And it's like called Seven Secrets?
Yeah, yeah. It's only three issues in. So
it's been really good. But yeah, this one, the amount of emotion you got on issue three of characters you don't know was right. absolutely excellent.
I know you're kind of pushing.
I just want to know just not who the bad guy is, but why the bad guy is.
Yeah.
You know, he clearly has a relationship with these people, so what was it?
Well, he wants the secrets.
Yeah.
Right, or does he want the secrets, or was he part of the group and got kicked out, and now he's seeking revenge?
Yeah.
Well,
you know, that. But he clearly knows, you know, what's going on, so.
Yeah. But the one guy is 70. The guy with the mask, he says he's 70.
Yeah.
Which, and I want to know what's going on with that.
Yep.
Like, how is...
Yep.
He
did he say he was 70 or did the old lady say she was 70?
I thought it was the old lady.
I thought it was
the
old
lady.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'm confused. Because I thought it was, I thought he's, because they're talking about he's too young. And the guy's like, am I too old? I'm 70. Try taking something away from
right.
me.
I think that was the old lady in charge.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was
the
guy in the mask.
No, I don't
I
think that, I don't think that was
the
mask.
Up.
Yeah. I don't think that was
yeah,
the
his
mask.
Name's like Carvalho or something like that. Or
no, not
Corona. No, not yeah. Corona.
No. But no, but that book has been outstanding. I the feels on this one when he opened that case of all the presents he wasn't able to
is
give.
Is it
him.
Ongoing?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's yeah. Tom Taylor.
Yes, Tom Taylor. Yeah, the art's excellent as well.
Yeah.
So no, that was a good one. Good choice, Pat.
Yeah. We Live number one.
I took it home. I meant to read it. I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah, so it's a pretty interesting concept where essentially the world's going to end and there's 5,000 of these bracelets that were dropped off, and it can only be for kids, and they would survive. Each one can take one companion with them. And so the story is about this little boy, and they're on their way to essentially the drop zone where they'll get picked up and be able to go off to this other planet. But, you know, the world is kind of fraught with danger. There's, like, super storms and swamp thing zombies and, you know, all kinds of other things. It's the thing, you know, it's probably a, you know, 5-6-year-old kid. And his companion is his older sister, who can't be older than, like, 11. But the kid, he's dressed up like a superhero with like a cat head mask and all that. And that's, he just wants to be a hero. But it's pretty interesting for a first issue. There's enough there to kind of make me want to see where it's going.
Who put that out?
Aftershock. Okay. Commanders in Crisis.
I read that.
What'd you think of that?
I didn't like it.
I didn't
either. It was okay. Yeah. It was just, it was bland.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't enough there. I mean, it was...
It's a group of heroes that we later find out were the presidents on all their multiverses planets who have now come to here to protect Earth because their planets were destroyed.
Yeah, this is the
and then it just, it turns out that they're all former presidents. That's why they're commanders in crisis. Right.
But it's like, one was the first gay president.
Yeah.
One was the first black
Latinx
president.
Yeah.
Was the
president.
First, yeah, Pakistani president.
Yeah.
It just
felt forced to me.
Yeah.
After thinking about it a little bit, yeah.
Well, that, and it also felt very pandering.
Sorry.
It was like diversity for diversity's sake, and like, I think they just... You know, like, okay, so the first gay president. Well, you know, they had to show him making out with a guy, which it's not a matter of, okay, he's gay. I understand that's going to happen. But, like, you made a scene out of it specifically to show, well, he's gay. That's not very subtle. I mean, it's like hitting people in the head with a slate. Oh, wait, guys kiss guys? Well, that must mean he's gay. To me, it's just...
Well, we read, like, a regular, just like... any other like superhero book, and I was waiting to see what's going to be the twist here, what's going to be the hook, and then it got to that.
Yeah, I'm just there wasn't enough there to make me want to read the second issue. So that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Warhammer 40,000, Marnaeus Kalgar. I don't think anybody else read this.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So
it's a Marvel book.
Do you know what Warhammer 40,000 is?
No idea.
Warhammer 40K. Mm-hmm. So it's a tabletop game from England, and they've done comics before. They're put out by a company called Games Workshop, and they have basically a publishing arm called Black Library. And they put out all the Warhammer fantasy books, Warhammer 40K. So I've read a couple of those. Like, I think Warhammer 40K is like a really interesting and unique fiction. Not super original. Right? It started in the 80s as a not a role-playing game, but like a tabletop game. Dice rolling, that type of thing. And it's very, like... the space marine concept is stolen right out of Starship Troopers.
Okay.
And like they have Tyranids that are the Arachnids, and also like it's a lot of stuff that, like, you know, they borrow from 1984, or they borrow from all these things, but the general idea is the story takes place in the 41st millennium, where everything, like, the only thing there is war. So there's the Imperium of Man that I can go on for this for a while, but the Imperium of Man has basically conquered most of the stars, but they are super xenophobic, like ultra, like super religious. They worship the Emperor, who is this like 10,000-year-old living corpse.
Is this a Marvel person writing this?
Yeah, Gillen, actually.
Yeah, okay. It's Karen Gillen. Okay. So this fiction, there are over 500 like Warhammer books. Like you, if you tried to read all of Warhammer, you like couldn't. They basically come out with a new like novel every week, seemingly. So. This is the first Marvel, like, licensed book in that universe, and it stars a big character in Warhammer, this Marnaeus Kalgar. He's the leader of the Ultramarines, which are, like, there's a bunch of factions of these Marines. They're all, like, you know, to kind of play into the tabletop game, you can make them all a different color, but, like, the default is the blue, like, these blue Marines. And he's like the leader of that. They protect a region of the galaxy called Ultramar, which has like 500 planets.
Why did Marvel take on this license?
I don't know. Very dark horse, maybe. Exactly. Why wouldn't Games Workshop just continue to put it out under their own publishing arm? You know, I don't know. But like, so I was really, the fact that this was going to be Marvel, I was like pretty. Excited for it, but I feel like they missed the tone a little bit. It's a little too bright. Like the Warhammer universe is like everything is bad. There are no heroes. Everyone is evil. We've gotten to the place where like there's a lot of technology, but they've actually like forgotten how it works. So, like, they can't innovate. All they can do is, like, try to keep the things that they already have going. They worship machines like they have spirits and, like, things like that, because they don't know how it actually works. It's sort of like Legos. They can put it together and they can make it work, but they don't, like, understand the, you know, the background of, like, why it works that way. So... You're thrown into this universe. You see, Kalgar is an old guy. He's a space marine, like the leader of the space marines. And this story is flashing back to him before he became a space marine. So, like, space marines are like super modified humans. They're like, they reproduce asexually, but they need to like take like a 10 or 12 year old and put this, what they call a gene seed, in them so that they can grow to be 7 feet tall and have extra lungs and a second heart and all kinds of, like, implants that can make them better warriors. So this is, like, this story takes place before he even gets selected to go into the Space Marines. So it's him when he's, like, a 10-year-old. It's not, like, the terror, like, the grim future. And, I don't know, it's just, it was a little uneven. Like, there's a couple pages where it's, like, super violent, which kind of fits. It's a little too bright, the art, but, like, it at least fits. Because the guy who did Crossed, what's his name? The artist who did that.
Jason Burroughs?
Jason Burroughs. Yeah. Yeah, he does this. So, like, his art style fits. I feel like the coloring is a little off. And this is very much, like, if you don't know anything about Warhammer 40K, this like, that universe, if you're not into that, like, this story is not going to be compelling to you at all. And it's, like, a very, like, deep fiction. Like, it's, you know, there's a lot of factions. And it's just, like, there's a lot there, which is what makes it good, makes it unique. But, like, I don't think anybody's going to pick this up and say, oh, I'm totally need to read everything Warhammer now. So, yeah. Little disappointed by that. It's only 5 issues, so I will read the rest of it. But I wasn't super impressed. X-Men, X-Swords.
I read all three of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read those. I'm just going to talk about all three together because I can't keep them apart.
Oh, they were clearly different stories. Now,
Colin sounds thrilled.
So what was
this? Hellions was the first one, and I hadn't read any of these. I don't know 92% of the characters.
I read the first Hellions.
Okay.
And I don't remember anything about it. Okay. But this one I actually liked because it was
I liked it, but I don't know. Yeah, no, it was funny.
I agree.
It was enjoyable, but I'm saying I don't know who the egg is. I don't know who the one guy is. So
I enjoyed that issue more than I had any right to. Yeah. I thought it was Mr. Sinister's idea to steal the swords and all the stuff with him about his cape. And I love that.
Yeah, one, I had a cape.
Well, and then he says,
"What did the guy call his tape?"
Hey, what's your tassels, man? Yeah. And he goes, "It's plumage, you Philistine."
Right, exactly. That was great.
Yeah. But
no, then he wakes up, he thaws out a clone because Exodus is like, "Oh, that's great, but you need to go lead them." He's like, "Oh, I'm not going on this suicide mission."
Yeah, because if they go.
And then he insulted Magneto, and Magneto's kid, you know, keep your daughter away from my son or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, I changed my vote. And so, but and then he had to thaw out a clone to go in his place. And the clone's I'm not going.
They got the rock, paper, scissors sword.
And you don't know which one won.
And then he gets there, and
it's the Braddock's
brother. Braddock is the king.
But the bad Braddock.
Yeah. And they basically, if they get caught there, it's the end of the world.
Right.
Yeah. So, he makes a deal with him to basically for passage. And then as he's leaving, he's like, now let's exchange gifts.
Right. And he gives him this horse
horse that's been terrible.
Yeah.
And then, like, okay, Mr. Sinister
ends up giving him his cape.
Like, I don't want the horse. No. So he, like, begrudgingly has to give him his cape. But we don't see this happen. It happens kind of off screen.
Only because the entire time he's in Otherworld, he's like, I had a cape.
Yeah.
I look much better than this. I used to have a cape.
Yeah. And he's like, normally I have a cape. Yeah. So I don't normally look like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
But then the guard, they see the horse, and that is the head of everything who's doing the whole Ten of Swords contest. That's her horse that he had stolen. And all of a sudden there's a confrontation, and then Empath, who's been the main character, at least in the beginning of this, as he had been resurrected right before, because he didn't die over there, he was able to be resurrected. And apparently, the one guy shot him in the head, and that's how he died, because he was trying to use his powers on the team.
But he doesn't remember it.
No.
But he's also mad about it.
Right. Who knows?
So.
Well, he doesn't remember it, but he figures it out.
Is that what it is?
He eventually figures out later that he.
He's like, shot me in the head, didn't you? And he's like, yeah, and I'll do it again. Or maybe this time I'll cut you in half.
Yeah.
Like, there was a funny part where the egg guy was riding on the horse and started to fall, and they made a Humpty Dumpty reference. But, yeah, basically it ends with Empath getting them passed. Yeah, I don't see it ending well for any of them.
And they didn't pick up on this storyline in the next
place. No, in any of the issues.
Oh, I'll get more of this,
no.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
What was the next
book? Oh, but Percy. This did lead to a shower question for me this morning, just because I read it before I went and got in the shower, and then it was in the shower. So the one guy, Grey Crow, has a metal arm, but he has a human hand at the end of it, which really confused me. But so he has a metal arm, and I was like, well, wait, now if they resurrected him, could he have his normal arm back? And then I got thinking, like, Forge, could Forge have all his original parts back if they resurrected him? And I'm like, that'd be a good question for Jermaine. But then Brandon said they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they can be in that, like the egg. They can do whatever they want. But maybe I'm wrong, because Tim was saying that Wolverine, in order to give him his adamantium, they had to, like, put him in a bath.
Oh, okay.
But I don't remember that.
Yeah, I didn't read the Wolverine.
Because I thought they just explained it away. Egg can be anything organic or inorganic, and you just gotta, you know.
Yeah, so maybe we'll have Jermaine on next week to explain.
So,
next one was New Mutants. New Mutants with Cypher, which I really
I like that too. I'm a huge Warlock fan, so.
Yeah. So,
apparently in a previous issue.
Warlock is a sword?
Well, Warlock is a techno-organic organism, creature. Who can become a sword. He can become any shape he wants.
I feel like that's cheating.
I agree. But, so, Doug now has smuggled in Warlock into Krakoa, and now has to use Warlock as his sword, and the whole issue is basically the conflict of Doug Ramsey has no offensive skills. And,
and the island doesn't even want him to do it.
Because then he'll have no way of communicating with him. Although, apparently he can use Mondo or somebody. But...
Yeah, I really liked all that character stuff.
Yeah and then Ileana is trying to train him to at least be competent.
And he... So, yeah, she's training him, and then eventually he gets to the point where she's like, he's like... I've learned the language of your fighting
style.
Right,
so, yeah, so he's using his language ability that way.
Which is fine if you've fought the
person but
before.
Yeah, if you're fighting somebody new.
Yeah, but if they just lop your head off, you're not going to learn anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was good.
And then Cable, did follow up. Was it, maybe it was from the one-shot? Because I definitely remember the issue where he goes up and plugs the sword in and it starts sword up, and they had just announced a new sword book. And then this continues that story. They find out why sword was turned off.
Because in one of the previous books, or is it in this book, they call him and they're like, hey.
It was in New Mutants where Ileana psychically talked to, I don't know what was going on.
Well, no, it was like a...
Yeah, but then at the end of Cable, they're all talking psychically.
Well, because Jean was there.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, Cyclops, in the first one, you don't know whether she's calling Cable or Cyclops.
Right.
Cyclops assumes it's for him.
But then Cyclops made some weird comment later on, like, will we have time to be together? And Cyclops is like, we'll see. That really struck me as odd.
Or no,
really
it's like,
odd.
Who knows, it might rain?
Yeah, something
or there's
like,
always a chance of rain or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was like, what?
Yeah,
because
isn't
she like 15 years younger than him?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. But then this is about the stuff going on up there, and really bad stuff was happening up on the sword. Some sort of alien invasion.
Yeah.
They just kind of walk away from
the blue
and they unplug it and walk away.
The blue square.
Yeah.
Isn't that a external gate?
I don't know.
Because I was thinking, they lost their external gate on Krakoa. Now they have an external gate on the space station, but it looks like maybe it's pointed at the wrong thing.
Something.
It's pointed at some weird
maybe it was in
race.
One of the text pieces.
I skipped all of
them. I skipped all of them.
I read the ones about the swords, but even
I read the swords, but I didn't read about the area ones.
Like,
yeah.
But yeah, those. Yeah. The guy with the no eyes who did the telepathy thing with Jean, that guy was creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this didn't really move the story along. Because he never pulls his sword out.
He pulled the sword out.
Like the last panel, he walks up with his sword and joins the other four.
It's the sword of...
And then they were all like all smiling. And everybody's like, why are you all smiling? I don't know. Because they were telepathic. That was a little weird.
And then he renames the sword.
Yeah, it was sword of Krakoa instead of sword of Gondor or something like
Galador,
that.
Galador, yeah.
Yeah. Gallifrey. Okay. Okay.
So.
What else you got?
Yeah,
there was only two this week and only one next week, so it's slowing down.
Wow, it's slowing down.
They should ramp up. I actually kind of like two or three books of this a week. I think that's all.
Spencer.
Grundle, Kentucky.
I read that.
Number two.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. And it seems like the town folks are kind of aware of this, with, you know, this creature living, like, in the...
Grundle.
Yeah, living in the mines or whatever, and that they're feeding, that's somehow that's how they keep on getting their good crop harvest coming in. Their crops. Because you get to see a flashback of the sister who...
Marnie, I think is her name?
I think so, yeah. Who, like, sees it whenever she's real little. Like, because she's adopted.
Right, she was, like, chasing her dad into the mine and saw Grendel.
Yeah.
And they didn't know that, and so at the very end, after Grendel has appeared... They're like, yeah, well, we've been lying to you your whole life. And
Therapy
she's kind of like,
yeah,
she's like, yeah, I kind of knew. But like one of her, there was this one little, I don't know, like gas station or something that was run by the townspeople. And she sent one of her biker girls
up there.
Yeah,
she apparently has her biker girls pulling security for the whole town.
And did not survive. And she pulls up as the Grendel's in the tree eating her, and that pissed her off.
Yeah, because it takes out like a whole like little shack of
people. I think it was like a gas station or something. But
something like that.
But really
good. She walked
good.
In and was pissed off because they're all eating. He's like, yeah, one of you needs to be out front.
Yeah, and then she goes out front and the guy's just sitting there and she shakes him and his head falls off.
Yeah.
As the thing was knocking on the wall. Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Let's see where the series ends up going. Bad Mother... Number
three. Yep,
heard
that too.
She's a bad...
Shut your mouth.
It's more her just kind of slowly, like, figuring things out, kind of.
Except the drone. She didn't really figure that out.
Whoa, yeah. Well, no, she figured it out. She just had to be within, like, 20 feet or something like that?
15 feet like that,
so... But she still got to do what it needed to do.
Yeah.
Well, and then she tracked down the woman that's kind of running the whole show.
Yeah.
Have you seen my cat?
Yeah. But yeah, just another good issue.
That's going to read really well in trade.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And then I'll talk about Amazing Spider-Man number 50. I won't go too much into it because there's a big kind of spoiler at the end. We kind of finally get to figure out who Kindred is and stuff. So that's kind of the big reveal, but it just a lot more just kind of building with that. We get to see Norman Osborn finally get shot with the magical shotgun from Sin Eater, and that doesn't really turn out too well for him. He kind of gets taken over by all the sins, and it appears to be get dragged back down to hell, it seems like. And then, what else? Oh, the issue, Spider-Man is, in the beginning of the issue, he's trying to swing, but he keeps on, like, he's not connecting, and because he's all beat up, and he's going to try to get help, and he barely makes it to Doctor Strange's door before, like, passing out, and he uses magic to try to heal him up a little bit, and to get his help to deal with, like, all this Sin Eater stuff, and, all that kind of business, because with the kind of dealing with magic and the afterlife and stuff. Like I said, at the end of the issue, we find out who Kindred really is. I don't know how I feel about it. I guess it all depends on how, hopefully how they explain how it happened. If they can stick the landing on that, I might like it a little bit more or whatever. And then the last book I'll talk about is Batman and the Outsiders, number 17. This is the last issue. I wasn't sure the last one, but this is the last issue. This is all just kind of like epilogue, really. I mean, it's still really good, but it's after the last issue was the big fending off Raj and the big, you know, climactic ending and stuff like this. Bruce, by Sophie, who's the new character we get introduced in the beginning of the series, like a house out on like a farm and stuff like that. But she doesn't end up she ends up leaving. She goes to leave with Lady Shiva because the stuff that happened to her, she's more interested in revenge other than justice. So she goes to leave with her. She also makes a offer to Duke, if he's interested in training to train with her, because he's still struggling with like the light and the dark power thing that's going on with him. But he doesn't go with her. He ends up leaving with Cassidy, and they just kind of go off exploring. Black Lightning and Quintana, they kind of go off together to try, because Black Lightning's trying to figure out if he wants to try to go back to teaching, or how much he wants to try to commit into the superhero community, if he wants to try to go full on and, you know, like Justice League member, big, you know, that kind of stuff. Quintana has her own thing, her own stuff going on, you know, with her sword and stuff like that, so they kind of leave to go and hunt, try to help each other, you know, find each other's way and stuff. I said it's just a nice little just wrap-up bow on the series. At first, it wasn't... I don't know if it would be my favorite run of The Outsiders, but it was really good. I would definitely like to see Brian Hill take another crack at it and stuff like that. And the reason that it's not one of my favorites is just like little biased things, like, you know, like you don't have no Metamorpho or no G-Force, and you know, like that, I always kind of need those guys on the Outsiders, but it was really good for what it was and stuff like that. If anybody's a big fan or likes previous Outsiders, you know, runs, I would definitely say, you know, check it out if you were waiting to. But that was it.
I only have one left, Darth Vader.
I read that.
Number 6. Which is the start of a new story after Vader.
It's two on my list. I can't believe nobody's
Vader right. has Vader has failed to.
I think I've read one of them, but I was trying to leave things for other people. But
Vader has failed to turn Luke to the dark side, and in the first 5 issues, he's on this quest to find out what happened to Padme without telling the Emperor. So in this issue, Vader goes back to Coruscant and. The Emperor's ready to hand out his punishment.
And it is a good punishment.
And it's a good punishment because he does the Force Lightning, and then he tears Vader's left arm and both of his legs off.
Well, he fights the Crimson Guard, the Guard, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And
no, the Crimson Guard was from G.I. Joe.
Oh.
The Imperial
Guard?
Royal Guard.
Yeah, the Royal Guard.
At least that's what the action figure was called.
Yeah, the Crimson Guard was with Tomax and Zaymon.
Okay, okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay. But yeah, he takes all his mechanical pieces off.
Yeah. And he tells him, you're getting weak. You're going to have to rebuild yourself physically and mentally. So he takes some...
You have to rebuild yourself, but I'm taking your arm and your legs. Yeah. So how's he going to do it?
He takes him to Mustafar. It drops him off at the same spot where he found him. And he tells him, you're going to have to rebuild yourself without using the Force. And he also sends a Sith assassin after him.
Yeah. Is that, should I know who that Sith
assassin
is?
I don't know who he is. I've never heard of him before.
Okay, I wasn't sure if he was from like another Marvel, because they have like a bunch of bounty hunter books and stuff.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's new. But
okay.
The Emperor's big on tough love.
But but yeah, this was a good reminder of how evil the Emperor is.
Yeah. Well, doesn't Vader like get to a ship and we don't even see how he does it?
One arm pull at a time.
Yeah, oh, he must, right?
Oh.
I thought there's like a scene where they're like,
I missed that.
Oh, he's already got the ship. Maybe that, I don't know. Maybe that was the bounty hunter ship, but I don't know. But he's got super duper force powers. He should be able to like levitate himself and just walk around being like a potato swinging a lightsaber.
Right? Yeah, probably.
So, but no, that's. The series has been good. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has been. It's been good.
It doesn't feel canonical at all. Yeah. Like, this isn't real Star Wars.
Yeah.
But it's a fun book.
But that's okay.
I mean,
you know, I hate when they... And the reason why I've dropped all the Star Wars books I've read is because they try to force it into, oh, well, this was going on right outside of what you saw in the movie. It's like, no. Dr. Aphra was not on Hoth. That doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was going to write a Star Wars book that just films in the middle, it would just be like, you know, a generic, like, Darth Vader hunting down some rebels kind of thing, and I wouldn't tie it into a bunch of canon. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they've made a point of really filling in these blanks.
Yeah.
Between the movies.
But that's just it. If they're not good enough to be movies, there's probably... not enough there.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like the best movies that they could do right now would just be Darth Vader movies kind of in line with these comics. I think they're... Because especially the first series, like, that was a really good...
Yes. Yeah, the Vader. First one was really good.
Yeah. That would totally work as a movie.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see a movie with the evil C-3PO and R2-D2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's hope we see them someday.
Yeah.
That's all I got, Colin.
Okay, two little ones that I read. One was The Vein. This is a new one from Oni. I believe it was written by Elliot Rahal.
Out, like, 2 weeks ago?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Did you read it?
No. Okay. But I thought it was older than that.
But it's basically about vampires, this little group of vampires, and they rob blood banks so they don't have to hurt anybody. It's set in the 40s in Chicago, and they make a break for it. They go and they hide with this. They're in this car, and people are after them, so they go to switch cars. And this guy just killed some people, so it was kind of fun where they ripped him in half and all sorts of gnarly stuff. But, and then basically it looks like from the cover of issue 2 that they're actually going to join the army and go fight Nazis. So that was kind of an interesting twist on it. And then Stargazer. The first one was interesting. About a kid, a group of friends, and the one girl's little brother years ago think that they drop acid and that something happens to the younger brother. And, like, he falls out of a tree and gets hurt, and they all get yelled at. The acid was because one of the kids grabbed the wrong backpack, and it was his older brother's backpack. Then it turns out it wasn't acid. It was just something he printed off on the computer to sell to freshmen in school so that they weren't actually tripping, and something they actually did see something. So now, at the end of last issue, something happened to the brother, and it looked like he was being abducted. So this one starts where... he's in the hospital in bad shape, and the sister's trying to figure out what happened. And she goes to this guy who does this, like, underground radio or podcast thing. That's a conspiracy podcast, you know, very, you know, Area 51 is a government, blah, blah, blah. So she goes and bangs on the door trying to, because he was a friend of her brother's who had kind of fallen down that rabbit hole. And the guy gives her just paper, it was the addresses of the other friends who they'd lost. And she's like, why do I need to find this? And it turns out that they were all embedded with something on that night by the aliens, and when they're all together, they're powerful. And then she's in the car, and she has this, like, dream with him and doing all these different things, and it turns out she was just actually asleep for an hour. So it was really interesting. This is by Mad Cave, just a real little publisher, but a really neat book. I really like that. Different, you know, just something that's different. And then the last two I read were kind of big books. Dark Knight's Death Metal number 4.
Yep. I read it.
Yeah.
Is there ever a book where
Nothing Super happens?
Boy, well, no.
Like, oh, I'm
Super
sorry.
Superboy Prime is just not a complete utter shit.
No, no.
Like, that seems to be his whole purpose in anything I've ever read with him.
Yeah.
Just to be a shit.
Yeah, it just, yeah. Yeah, it was an issue.
Yeah. I don't know where this is headed at all.
They've added five more one-shots.
Well,
so it's like this is the series that will never end.
I've enjoyed the one-shots more than I have the main story.
Yeah. I don't know what his obsession with Sergeant Rock is. I don't understand that at the beginning of every issue. I just don't get it, period.
I got to assume it means something because there's no other reason to have him.
I don't get that.
You know, maybe he's like Batman's military advisor.
How many issues is the main series?
Seven, I believe. Yeah.
Well, at least we're more than halfway done.
Yeah, but it's just, I'm just like, I'm like, what happened?
Yeah,
not a fan. Not a girl. And Strange Adventure 6.
Yeah, I read that.
That was better. I thought that was very interesting. It's a Mr. Terrific issue, which I do like. And it was him and Alana.
But that whole thing was weird.
Yeah. But, like, something happened. He and his... Strange and his daughter went to have some father-daughter bonding time. And during that, she was killed. And Terrific's like, where's the body? And she's like, we don't have the body. It's like, something's weird here.
Yeah, like, if you're a mother, you would do, you know, even if it's just like, you know, a pile of dust.
And it also made reference that Adam was captured, and when he was uncaptured, when he escaped, he wasn't the same. He was more ruthless, less compassionate. Or was it scared? I forget. He was changed, though.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I thought I enjoyed that one a lot. Some of them have kind of been, we're moving forward. But I thought that one was interesting.
But that whole thing was just her trying to seduce Mr. Terrific. And it wasn't working.
Not at all.
It's like she just kept pouring it on. He takes her back to his house. I was like, all right, see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought that was a really good issue.
Detective. Anybody read that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually like that one.
I mean, it was a one shot, and you know, and it was fine, but there wasn't a whole lot to it.
Well, it was a.
It was just like a decapitating guy.
But it was a Batman on a horse.
That's true. We've seen Batman on a horse before, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is more of it.
Yeah.
It was a different horse.
That's true. Well, it was still a black horse.
I don't know. I liked it.
I guess a knight does need his horse.
It was a little bit of a mystery, but you know, and it introduced a completely like throwaway villain. So
you watch 4 years from now, that issue is going to be worth $300 because he's he's going to be the new Joker.
What was his name?
Bob.
It's something mundane.
Yeah.
Like.
Decapitating Pete or
like
something.
Holcomb or something. Yeah, it's Holcomb or something.
Yeah,
that
was because he was like the son of a police detective that was framed for, and then he killed himself. But he really was a good cop. And that was the other thing. Batman was just kind of like, now you've ruined his legacy. It's like, well, that's kind of harsh.
Yeah, and then an awesome cover.
Is it sure?
No, I ordered it for the store, but yeah, I'll probably take it home.
Is it still open?
Look at the other ones. They're good. No, not the... Oh, yeah, those. No, it was this hard case crime series from Titan Books.
Stephen King did
that. And these are just, you know, pulp novels, but they have these awesome Robert McGinnis covers.
They are cool, that's awesome.
Yeah, scantily clad women.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The
title is So Nude,
So
Dead.
So Naked, So Dead, yeah. So anyway, what's
coming out? I'm a male. Leave me alone.
So, Colin, what's coming out next week?
Oh, my God. We have. We'll start with DC so I don't forget them. Batgirl 50, which is the last issue of that series.
Ever?
Yes. Yeah, until March. Batman 3 Jokers number 3. Please make sense.
I think you're asking a lot.
I think that ship sailed.
Yeah.
I think you're asking a lot.
We have Dark Knight's Death Metal Rise of the New God. Constantine Hellblazer number 11. And Suicide Squad 10. We'll see if Deadshot's really dead. Sure he is.
What's the next Constantine... was it Fallen Angel?
Yeah, or next month, because it's bi-monthly. I think the first one was September, so the next
one's
November.
Oh, it's bi-monthly?
Yeah,
damn it.
Okay. For the rest, we have Spider-Man 51, part of last...
Rights.
I knew it was an R. Autumnal number 2. I really like number 1. Black Widow, Widow Sting number 1, to tie in with the movie.
There's a
little
movie?
One-shot. Yeah, there's a Black Widow movie coming any day now.
Came out a year ago.
Yeah. Free Comic Book Day it came out. You remember Free Comic Book Day. It was awesome.
Yes, I was here.
Packed. We were totally packed.
Yeah. For sure, every day.
Yeah.
I've never seen so many here.
I know. Blue and Green. I'm looking forward to this one. This is Rom V doing one based on jazz. And I just found out that it was basically written like jazz, where they didn't know where it was going. They just were kind of...
just writing?
Yeah, feeling their way with it. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I pre-ordered that. You're making me regret my pre-order.
Oh, sorry. Mike, I know you're going to be very happy about this.
Ant-Man's coming out?
I know Dave is going to be happy, but not as happy as you. Captain Ginger, Volume 2, is coming out. Yes. We have Colonel Word Cosmagog number 1.
He just defeated him.
I know.
Hold on.
Oh, he's got a...
Mike's got a picture of him flipping you the bird.
Probably.
No. Continue on your...
Department of Truth number 2. I really like number 1
really
on this.
Good. Yeah.
Fantastic Four Antithesis number 3. I can't believe how well this book is selling.
What's
we got Cat.
That's a cat.
You're now a cat guy. Look at you.
She has 2 cats, and they like me.
Ah. Giga number 1. This is from Vault.
I'm still not getting the book.
This one is supposed to be really good. It's basically, there are these huge, shogun warrior things that protect this place. And then once they've defeated all the bad guys, they kind of shut down. And people now live in them and things like that. They're the protectors of this place. And then all of a sudden, one is killed. And now they got to figure out what's going on. Heavy 2, that's also from Vault. Immortal Hulk 39, continuing that. New previews next week. That's one thing I wanted to mention. Previews, I forgot, I didn't realize, is due tomorrow. It's due Thursday. So if you have any orders, please get them in.
I have a bunch of Boom stuff I want.
Okay, cool. But yeah, I didn't realize that until yesterday. So I'll be going from here to home to doing hours of data entry. Yes!
Can't play this stuff.
No. Because it's normally due at the end of the month. So, today's the 21st. It doesn't seem like the order should be due. We should have more time. Sex Criminal 69, the last issue. They did skip a couple issues in between there.
Just to get the 69?
Yeah. What's the last? Well, you can't see. Sorry. Because that's the sexual Gary one-shot. Shang-Chi number 2. Spawn 311. Spawn is like blowing up.
Really? A lot of people buying that?
Yeah.
Are you reading that?
I'm behind. I get the issues. I wait until there's like a good chunk of them, and then when I get a time, I like kind of...
You read them 100 at a time.
Yeah.
Because I do find like it
That's
is
impressive.
Better reading like a couple issues of Spawn in a row other than like reading an issue, waiting a month, reading, like, you know what I mean? I do find that it reads better. You know, that way. And I guess I'm kind of trade rating, but I'm due with single issues.
No. Sympathy for No Devils. This is Aftershock. World where everybody has, like, is demons and things like that. And there's this one human guy, and he was a detective, but he got kicked out. And now he does, he's a private detective. He's no longer on the police force. But he's just a human, but he has this unbelievable luck. So Kenny Saul. And there's these creatures that are called, I forget, but they're like huge giant things that can't be killed, and one is killed, and he has to figure out what happened. But his old partner knows that he has this power, and can he solve it before he gets outed? Dun, dun, dun. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin. We've talked about that.
Well, for 80% of us, anyway.
80% of it is coming, yes. Unkindness of Ravens 2. I like number one. I thought that was interesting. Wind, the last issue of Wind, the book by James Tynion from Boom. And X of Swords Stasis. Dun, dun, dun. Not sure what that is, but
what,
we haven't gathered all the swords yet, so it's not the halfway point.
Is that next week?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because they've only gathered half the swords. Mm-hmm. At least this side. We don't know about the evil guys. Maybe they already have their swords and they're ready. So.
You think they can collect 5 swords in 2 issues?
No, not the way they're going. No. It'd take at least 10.
Mr. Sinister is going to get them all.
Why are the X-Men collecting swords?
Because, there's a prophecy, and Susie Sunshine, who controls the Neverland, said they have to get the swords, because then they have to fight. I forget it. Saturnine? That's her name?
They have to fight with swords?
I like Susie Sunshine better.
Or the blonde who I thought was Emma and got confused.
But they have to fight with swords?
Yeah, they have to use swords.
They're the X-Men.
A lot of sword fighting going on, Mike, just so you know.
Lots of swords.
Lots of swords. Sword play.
Yeah, lots of sword play, yeah.
Wolverine has his claws.
No, he's got his super sword.
No, he's got his...
That he had to give something up to get, and we don't know what he gave yet.
Yeah. It's not Hattori Hanzo, it's...
Morimoto, Masamoto. Manimoto.
Morimasa?
Manimoto.
Yeah, he was like the catcher for the Dodgers.
Yeah,
I thought so. It was like Cleveland Indians, 72. It's good, though.
It has been enjoyable, but it...
Does Nightcrawler have his rapier?
He might. We don't know yet.
I don't think he's going to be one of the... I don't know. They gave him a quote at the beginning of one of the books.
Okay.
He's talking about...
But yeah, so far it's Douglock, Wolverine... Mm-hmm. Aurora.
Why does Wolverine need a sword?
Magic, Cable.
So Ileana. Saturnine.
Oh, that's magic.
Yeah,
Saturnine picked the combatants, and told them what swords they need.
Yeah, through a prophecy that was implanted in Polaris's head.
This sounds a lot like Secret Wars, but even dumber and without the toy tie-ins.
It's brilliant. Stop. Well, we're getting the toys, don't you worry.
I don't know. Wolverine with chopping action.
Like,
sold.
But compared to Joker War.
Oh, God, yeah.
This
is
like the epic of all time.
Yeah.
That's a low bar.
I know. But honestly,
this is too soon for
me.
Hey, wait till we read Original Sin.
Yeah. The last couple of weeks, I read my Joker War books and be like, ugh. And then I pick these up and I'm like, ooh.
Swords.
Yeah.
It's a little more exciting.
Swords. Okay. So, previews order due Thursday, so please get those orders in. No book club. We're doing the horror stuff. Double points. That's about it.
Well, where can people find you at the second best comic book shop in all of Pittsburgh?
I will take that.
Still. You were robbed.
No. Considering I'm not in Pittsburgh, I will accept that.
That's why you were robbed. Well, if you were in Pittsburgh, you'd have been
robbed. I'm the best comic book store in McMurray.
Again, that's a low
bar. In Washington County.
Washington County.
Again, I get it. Back off. So, website's Pittsburgh Comics. I am trying to figure out how to redo it. I just do not know how to do that stuff. That is not my forte. Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. That's about it. Dave!
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.